Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. The most intense explosions known anywhere in the universe come from exploding stars called supernovae. I spoke with astronomer J. Craig Wheeler at the University of Texas at Austin. Wheeler talked about how scientists' understanding of supernova explosions lies at the cutting edge of astrophysics. What's more, Wheeler talked about evidence showing that the universe is actually accelerating. Here's J. Craig Wheeler. Dr. Wheeler, welcome to Earth and Sky.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell me about the frontiers of astrophysics.
The particular subject that I work on is supernovae, exploding stars, but it turns out the impact of those sort of thread through all of modern astrophysics, sort of standard sort of thing. Carl Sagan's quote that we're all made of star stuff is still true, that the iron in our blood and the calcium in our bones comes out of exploding stars. But trying to figure out why they explode and the mechanisms of them is a thing that's occupied me for my career. And then the implications of them, they leave behind compact objects like neutron stars and black holes. So in studying supernovae, one is implicitly involved in that kind of a topic. Two of the themes that have come out of that in sort of the last 6 or 7 years, there was a branching. It goes back to about 1998, not quite 10 years ago. Two immense new fields opened up based on supernova research and related things. One was the so-called cosmic gamma ray burst, which was a 30-year-old mystery of these flashes of gamma ray energy in the sky, randomly from the sky. Nobody knew where they were. Without knowing how far away they were, you didn't know how energetic they were. And they would only last for about 10 or 20 seconds. And so there was no time to follow them up. And finally, the techniques were developed to do that. And it turned out they were flashes of light from exploding, collapsing stars all the way across the universe that beamed their energy in a very tight beam of gamma rays. The current hypothesis is that they're associated with the birth of black holes. That's not absolutely proven, but it's the top-rated game right now. But we see these things like 100 times a year. They go off very frequently on the far reaches of the universe, and it's entirely conceivable that every flash we see is a new black hole being born in the universe. Just tremendously exciting thing. And then at about the same time, another kind of supernovae, which are exploding white dwarfs, a thermonuclear explosion, which is still a great topic for trying to understand the physics of them that I spend quite a bit of time on. But they were just used as a tool to measure how far away things are in the universe, because we know how bright these things are, and then how dim they look through a telescope tells us how far away they are, and you can measure that pretty precisely. And that tool was used by a couple of groups of astronomers studying the supernovae for cosmological reasons, because you can see the supernovae at great distances, and discovered this so-called accelerating universe, the fact that the universe is moving apart from itself ever faster. We thought it was in the grip of gravity and would be slowing down with time, even though it's expanding. But it turns out to be accelerating, even though it's expanding. And that requires some new force that we absolutely do not understand. It's called dark energy, just to mask our ignorance of it. But it plumbs right to the depths of physics. I mean, there is nothing in modern physics that can explain this phenomenon. There's got to be absolutely new physics involved in it. And it's got the astronomers and cosmologists and physicists all just completely scratching their heads over what it is and trying to make new measurements, more precise measurements of supernovae, other ways of measuring the acceleration. So this the game that I'd played in an exciting but somewhat sedate backwater turned out to open up these tremendous new windows, and we're still just working on it like mad to figure out what the implications are.
I believe that you recently have been in the news along with one of your students, Robert Quimby.
Right. Well, that's been just an amazingly fun story. I've got to go back 40 years. I was a postdoc at Caltech back in the late 60s. And my postdoctoral associate there was a fellow by the name of Zalman Barkat, who had done his PhD in Jerusalem. And he did it on a class of theoretically proposed exploding stars. If they were very massive, they could, as they evolve from hydrogen to helium and helium to heavier elements like oxygen, they could get hot enough that they would create electron-positron pairs, little dabs of matter and antimatter. And it turns out if you take the energy out of the heat and you put it into matter, you actually reduce the pressure somewhat. And in these theoretical models, that was predicted that the star would contract, ignite its oxygen fuel in a thermonuclear way, blow the star up entirely in a massive explosion. So in some sense, although it involves sort of the exotic concept of matter and antimatter, is the simplest mechanism for blowing a star up that we know. The trick was it required a very massive star, more than 100 times the mass of the sun, and we didn't know whether such stars existed. There have been hints over the decades that indeed nature does make stars like that. There was a lot of discussion of whether those stars might be typical of the first stars ever formed in the universe back a long time ago, but there was no evidence of it. And then my student Robert Quimby put together this supernova search here. He was not looking for this kind of thing. He was looking for a different class of supernova early times, but he did it very cleverly and very thoroughly, and so there was some serendipity involved, but Robert made his own luck. He made his own serendipity out of this. It was really quite nice. So he discovered this supernova that got very, very bright. It was a long way away. It wasn't that bright down the telescope, but intrinsically it had to have a huge power to shine at us as brightly as it did down the telescope, given how far away it was. And he discovered this thing in the final few months before he was defending his PhD. So he didn't really follow it up in great detail. And I don't know, I was running off being president of AAS or something like that. I didn't follow it in great detail. And so our colleagues at Berkeley did some really nice work on following up the observations and getting more data on it, some crucial constraints that eliminated some other possibilities, and realized that it was the brightest supernova we'd ever identified by a factor of 100, just very much brighter than anything else. And looking at their data of this long, slow rise, it took like 70 days to get to its peak output, and a supernova normally does that in a couple of weeks, not a couple of months. It was exactly what you would expect from this so-called paraformation that my buddy Zalman had talked about 40 years ago. So that emerged as the most popular hypothesis for it. It turned out then it went behind the sun. The Earth goes around, so the galaxy was on the other side of the sun and effectively up in the daytime, couldn't see it. By the time it came back again, the supernova had faded, and it turned out to be dreadfully difficult to get any follow-up information on it. So I thought it was going to be just a piece of cake to prove this idea that I'd promulgated, and it turns out not to be easy. So it's just an absence of evidence. There's no evidence against it, but no strong evidence for it either. That's been a little frustrating. And then we found another one that is even brighter. Robert had found this one before, but it was one of the first ones he'd ever discovered, and he's using a very small telescope. It's a robotic telescope, very powerful for what it can do. So you can program it to go out and look at vast swaths of the sky, which increased his odds to find these things.
Would you want to speculate on that idea? And this is my last question. Thank you. On that idea of our understanding of kind of what's going on out there, are there things like this that could be possibly happening that are escaping the notice of scientists?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's all sorts of ramifications of this story, but that's one of the biggest ones. Yes, these things are rare. The ordinarily supernovae in a galaxy like ours turns out a supernova about once every 100 years. These very special things, the very bright ones probably only go off once every 1,000 or maybe 10,000 years. So they're rare. So you really got to open up your search volume and look in lots of places for these rare events. But yes, they must have been happening all along. And the fact that we just discovered them in the last year is very sobering.
That was astronomer J. Craig Wheeler of the University of Texas at Austin on supernovae and our accelerating universe. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.